And welcome, everyone, to In Short Order, the show that brings the experts to you because you deserve only the very best. Tonight, we have Dr. Clancy McKenzie with us. Not only is he a master, I mean a master. After talking to this man, I have just absolutely learned so much. It's unreal. And what you're going to learn tonight is how to use programmed dreams. Over the years, Dr. McKenzie has helped many through programmed dreams. He says our programmed dreams can offer answers regarding jobs, careers, medical and surgical issues, school, relationships, marriage, divorce, children, investments, decisions, and about where to live, overcoming loss, grief. So if you have any question at all, and I'm sure that you guys will, have any question at all you would like to ask Dr. McKenzie tonight, the number for you to call in is 347-326-9715. And I do have emails open. If you would like to send an email with your question, sometimes you get a little radio shy, and that's Peer, P-E-E-R, O as in Ohio, B as in Boy, magazine at AOL.com, and I'll make sure that I get your question to him right away. Welcome, Dr. McKenzie. I'm excited about this show, Program Dreams.
I am, too. I'm really looking forward to it. There's nothing I prefer to talk about than Program Dreams.
I know, but you are a master at so much. I mean, good night, nurse. I have learned so much from you. It is just unreal. So what is a Pope program dream, and why haven't we heard about these before now? Because I've never heard of them.
Yeah. Well, I first learned this about 45 years ago, and it was first taught in the Silva program, the Silva Mind Control, with Jose Silva.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I really took hold of it, maybe because I was a psychiatrist and interested in dreams to begin with. But it doesn't matter if it's a medical problem, a psychological problem, a financial problem, where to live, how to do, what to do for the children, etc. You always get the very best answer as long as you formulate the question, in a proper manner. And a lot of
right.
it is formulating the question. You know, I told one person how is it critically important how you phrase the question. He says, okay, I'll have a dream about what I want to do about this. I said, that's the most irrelevant dream I've ever heard. What if you want to do something foolish? It's got to be, I will have a dream about such and such, and the interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what to do. That will work out best, you see. Anyway, so
right, but most people, and I've actually posed this question. Most people say, "Well, I don't dream, or I don't remember my dreams." So you're going to let us know how we can remember them, and how we can write them down and actually interpret those dreams, right?
Oh yeah. Well, the program dreams come through so clearly, there's hardly a problem with interpreting them, but. You decide you're going to awaken at the very end of the dream, and you awaken, and then as you start writing immediately, as soon as you get the dream, with the
mm-hmm.
eyes closed, I keep the eyes closed and start writing. With I put the fingers on the left side of the page. I start with from the little finger, the next, and down to the thumb, and I might move the hand down the page once. For about 9 or 10 lines. But anyway, I was going to start with some of the physical ailments because people understand those more than the psychological sometimes.
Sure.
Let's start with the Raynaud's disorder. You know, that's a problem where the hands turn purple and black and it's very painful. And
mm-hmm.
it's not known in medicine as to what causes it. But that's no problem for the program dream. Over at about 10-year intervals, the last 30, 35 years, I had 3 people with Raynaud's phenomena. Their first one was a young lady that came in the office, and her hands literally turned blue and purple, and they were very painful. And And she told me how bad it was. I said, no problem, I'll write the dream. I wrote, I will have a dream about the Raynaud's phenomena, and the interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what's causing it. And the second half is always, I will awaken at the very end of the dream, remember it, and write it down. I sacrifice grammar for emphasis. Anyway, so I saw her the next week. I asked her what the dream was. Well, in the dream, she was chasing the maid around the house. She got her out in the driveway and was banging the head of the maid into the black top. But then the face of the maid changed to the face of her younger sister. And she used to chase the younger sister around the house because she figured the younger sister was her father's favorite. So she remembered that she'd become very fond of her younger sister. And the part of the of her mind that cared about the blood about the younger sister simply shut off the blood supply. And
oh my!
This, yeah, and it's so with that she was aware of why she was doing this. Now that was 30 years ago, and in Philadelphia we had a gifted Swami Rama at that time. And a dear friend of mine who is Elmer Green, he's about 100 years, or maybe just over 100 right now. And he's a top biofeedback researcher in the world. I mean, of course, he might not be doing much of that now. But he had tested the Swami Rama and found that Swami Rama was able to make one edge of his hand 10 degrees warmer than the other edge, the radial and the ulnar sides. Any rate, and then he could reverse it at will. So I knew the mind is capable of shutting off the blood supply, and he demonstrated it very well. So that was the cause of her Raynaud's phenomena. She understood it and had a means then of overcoming it, realizing how much she cared about the younger sister, and she never would do anything to harm the younger sister as the adult who really cared about
right.
her. 10 years later, I had a nun. Oh, this was strange. I, you know, do some unusual things. It was post-exorcism trauma desensitization. I mean, it was very unusual. But at any rate, she had Raynaud's phenomenon. And it didn't relate to aggressive impulses that were taboo. It was sexual impulse that was taboo. And she fully understood the dream, and that helped her overcome it. There was a third one. More recent, yeah, about 10 years ago, a third one with Raynaud's phenomena. A social worker brought this young lady in. And she certainly had the Raynaud's phenomena. And the social work, I told them the first dream that told the cause of a Raynaud's phenomena, by the way, which is still not known in medicine, but that doesn't matter. And then the second one, the cause of that one. And then the social worker began to chuckle. I said, what's funny? She says, well, her Raynaud's phenomena started after she was raped, and the affected area is the inner aspect of her thighs. You know, so,
that makes sense.
So now we know the origin and mechanism of Raynaud's phenomena. Let's see, there's a lot of other things here. Transverse myelitis, that's another one not known in medicine. I had this sweet lady had practically no education at all, but she was a precious lady. And she came in to see me one time, and she said she was very concerned because she developed pain in her left arm, then weakness in the left arm, and then muscle atrophy. And then she developed pain in her right arm and weakness in her right arm, and then pain in her left leg. Well, she saw her general practitioner, and he told her, oh, you've got transverse myelitis, which means inflammation of the spinal cord. And he
right.
said, we don't know what causes
yep.
it. We don't know what to do
right.
about it, but here's a brochure. You take it home and read about it. Well, she read
uh-huh.
that she could become quadriplegic. I said,
yes.
no problem. I'll write the dream. In the dream, she was sitting in a dental chair, and the dentist is removing all these teeth. Then she makes the astute observation. They're only the teeth with the fillings. And, of course, what kind of fillings were they? The amalgams,
mm-hmm.
which are 50%
yep.
mercury, a very powerful neurotoxin. She got those
mm-hmm.
teeth removed, and the transverse myelitis disappeared. So, and it,
amazing.
The cause is still not known in medicine, as far as I'm aware. There's things like a person had a specific heart condition. No problem. He identified through the program dream, cancer, pregnancy, allergy. Doesn't matter what it is. Oh, I got to tell you one about intestinal obstruction. This lady came into the psychiatric hospital. She was getting a little upset. I put her in there. And arrived about the same time the internal medicine specialist came. And he said, she's got terrible chest and abdominal pain, and it's either a heart attack or a kidney infection. And he wanted to transfer her to a medical facility. Well, the lady was a good dreamer, so I asked him, let's wait till tomorrow morning and then transfer to the hospital. He agreed. That surprised me. And I told her, you better have a dream that tells what it is, where it is, how you got it, why you got it, and what to do about it. She was a good dreamer, you know. So in the dream, she and her husband were driving along a winding road where they should not have gone. Began to snow. The snow got deeper and deeper. The car veered off the road and was covered over with snow. As soon as the car veered off the road, the husband said, I have to cut off the engine. Then 5 or 10 came from the city to dig them out. That represents the fingers on 1 or 2 hands. And I didn't know if it was laying on of hands or whether it was surgery. But just beyond where the car was covered over with snow, the road came to a dead end, went into another road at right angles, into another road at right angles, into another road at right angles. And I was hearing a road map of the intestinal tract. The winding road is a small intestine. At the end of the winding road came to a dead end, which is the cecum, then the ascending and right angles of the transverse, and then the descending colon. So I didn't tell her this. I said, would you please draw that for me? She drew it in correct proportion. I still didn't tell
wow.
her what it was. But I recognize it immediately. That's an intestinal obstruction at the ileocecal junction. Now, in the dream, first thing the husband said is, they were covered over, so I have to cut off the engine. Well, that's the first thing you do for an intestinal obstruction. You shut off the fuel supply, the food intake. When he did that, 5 or 10 came from the city to dig them out. 5 or 10 represents the fingers on 1 or 2 hands. And I didn't know if it was laying on of hands or surgery. But intestinal obstruction is an acute surgical emergency. So I transferred her to a surgical hospital that morning and told her, you better have another dream to tell us exactly what to do or to get rid of it. Otherwise, they'll be cutting you open. Well, they've confirmed the diagnosis of the intestinal obstruction right at the ileocecal junction, and they scheduled the operation for the next morning. But she programmed another dream to get rid of it. During her dream, There was a tall, dark-complected man wearing a turban like they wear, let's say, in the Punjab section of northern India, and he was massaging her abdomen. And when she awoke, the obstruction was gone.
Oh,
they
my
had already,
gosh.
They already... So the dreams seem to... We get helpers, you know.
Yes.
You know, and I've just seen so much of that. It's just amazing. I mean, I'm more astounded every time.
I want to let everybody know, again, the number to call in if you have a question. And Dr. McKenzie will actually, we talked about this right before, he is so generous. He said that he would program a dream for people that call in. The number's 347-326-9715. We do have somebody on. Let's see if they want a program dream.
Sure.
Hi, caller. Your last is 5056. Do you have a dream or a problem that you want Dr. McKenzie to program a dream for you? Caller, are you there? Your last four of your number is 5056. Okay, we'll put them back on, and we'll bring them back. They might have stepped away from the phone. And so, again, that number is 347-326-9715. If you would like to speak with Dr. McKenzie and maybe get a program dream, or if you have a question, make sure that you call in during the radio show. So let's talk about, you know, pain. Pain and fatigue, those are the two things that most clinicians see patients for. Usually that's their warning sign that, hey, something's not right. Can they program dreams for pain and fatigue to find out what's causing it?
Oh, absolutely. For example, well, I have to give you an example, you know. And I had myself, I had something in my eye, and it began to bother me quite a bit. And I went to a meditation level, and the meditation level, I mean, first, you know, I remembered... sharpening a lawnmower that morning, and I thought, well, it must be a speck of stone from the grinding wheel. But then I couldn't see it, and so I decided I better get a dream about it. In the dream, it was two specks of metal in my left pupil. That's nothing to fool with if it's pieces of metal in there. So 8 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting in an ophthalmologist's office, and he removed two pieces of metal from my left pupil and told me if I hadn't come right in, they would have rusted and impaired my vision. Oh, in the dream,
yeah.
I also learned that stone would not have enough carrying power. Well, metal weighs at least twice as much or more, you know. So,
wow.
And so they had more trajectory. It's just an example.
And I hope from now on you wear safety glasses.
Well, I haven't sharpened the lawnmower for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about fatigue? We see a lot of fatigue, especially with some of the diseases that are going around, you know, the fibromyalgia, the chronic fatigue, the Lyme disease, and a whole bunch of other ailments. So what can people go ahead and program dreams for fatigue and find out
what is
causing their fatigue?
Oh, yeah. I will have a dream about my fatigue. And the interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what is causing it. And it can be anything, you know, but you will get exactly that. If you program the dream and you decide, I will awaken at the very end of the dream, remember it, and write it down, and start writing before you open your eyes. You know, have to record that dream immediately. You know, people who forget dreams is because they don't do that. They have to decide to have the dream. Well, they ought to be able to decide they will wake up at the very end of the dream. Remember it.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Write it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
so,
we should be in control of our dreams. You know.
Oh, yeah, because,
you
know, these are just like the miracles of prayer or something, because when you I haven't known a person to get a wrong answer. I mean, that's about 45 years of programmed dreams. It doesn't seem that long.
It is. And what about interpretation? I mean, because the one, and I've heard this one a few times from you, is about the intestinal tract. And what if they have problems interpreting those dreams? How
sometimes
to interpret they those
can
dreams?
Just, they can program that they will be able to interpret it, or they can program that I'll be able to interpret it and tell it to me, you see. So it is very, you know, interpreting it is critical, but when you start to get the programmed dreams, you know exactly what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. And this lady who got rid of the intestinal obstruction, she didn't know it what exactly it was, but I think the person in the turban must have known, whoever that
yeah.
was, you know.
Yeah, and you knew. I mean, you knew. You saw it plainer than day, because that one still confused me. When you first told it to me, I'm thinking, where is that going? I wouldn't have pictured the intestines until you got to the winding road and then it ended. Yeah, then I pictured it. But that might be, you know, a little bit of a problem. Let's take somebody with lymphedema, for example. And so if they were to program a dream, what would that look like? Say somebody had lymphedema and they're not sure, the doctors aren't sure where it comes from or basically what to do about it. So how would they program that dream? What would that look like?
Well, it would be, I will have a dream about the edema, you know, and the interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly where it is. Well, they don't know where it is, exactly what is causing it, and they will get some kind of symbolism that will show them exactly what's causing it. Or they might get names and things like that, but they should be able to get the answer. Anything like that that we get an answer to. I know one time I had something similar. My larynx swelled up and my throat, you know, and I was wondering what on earth caused that. And, you know, a sore throat, if it lasts more than 3 days, is like cancer until proven otherwise, you know. People get very serious about that. So I decided I better program a dream. And in the dream, immediately knew it was an allergic reaction to pepperoni. Now, I used to get low blood sugar, so I had to munch on pepperoni, because you don't get low blood sugar from that. You know, it tasted okay. But I stopped the pepperoni, and it disappeared. I tried it again a week later, and it was right back there. And so I don't eat pepperoni. So
there you go. That'll work. Yes.
So, I mean, you get those things, and you just decide you're going to get the answer. And the answer will come through in a way that you understand, because you're trying to get the communication there, and not just the physician who would understand, you know.
Right, exactly. And is it any easier to actually program dreams for, like, children, raising children, or getting a divorce, or getting married, or finding a place to live?
Those are critically important dreams, yes. It is very easy, you know. Conflicts with children. And the child is going to program a dream. Well, it depends how old. If it's a teenager, they're going to have to rebel at anything you say. But if it comes through their own mind, I had this one teenager in a hospital, and he wanted to, he had some bit of an inheritance, and he wanted to spend his last dime on this fancy sports car. And no, he was a good dream programmer, so I thought he should be able to get it, but he wasn't able to get it. Answer what he should do. So I said, you suppose it's because You're afraid you're going to get an answer you don't want to hear? He says, that's exactly it. You know, the answer would probably be to get the cheaper car. So he programmed, I will have a dream about getting a car. Interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what to do. That will work out best. And to put all his money in the car and not have enough money to fill the tank wouldn't do him much good, you know. So he programmed that, and it was to buy the cheaper car. And he had no resistance because it came from his own mind.
Absolutely. Sometimes life's decisions are really, we see them as complications, but they're really, if they take this and do the program dreams, it takes the complications away. Yeah.
It really does. You never get a wrong answer. What should I do about school? What should I do about a place to live? What should I do about finding a job? I had this. Well, a man was telling me, one of my patients, that his wife was thinking about getting a job. And it was a poor couple. So I wrote the dream for him to give to her. I will have a dream about employment. And the interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what to do. I saw him, it was a month later, I saw him. I said, well, what was your wife's dream? He said, oh, she had a dream that she should get a job in the housekeeping department of the Marriott Hotel. But that's not the end of the story. She got on a bus the next morning, took a ride into town, and of course there's millions of people riding the bus in Philadelphia. And she met an old friend of hers on the bus, and the old friend said, girl, what are you doing these days? She says, I'm thinking of getting a job in the housekeeping department of a hotel. And the friend said, girl, this is your lucky day. I'm supervisor of housekeeping at the Marriott Hotel, and I'm looking to fill 3 positions.
Oh, my gosh.
These work out way. It's like those people are drawn in because of the programming. And another lady came to me lamenting she really wanted to teach school, but she did not have enough college credits to get the teaching certificate. So I wrote out the dream. I'll have a dream about teaching school. Interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what to do. Well, the next morning, she didn't remember the dream. The next morning, she got up and decided to take a walk. She walked into a neighborhood where she had never been and saw an old friend of her mother's scrubbing the windows out front of a house. She introduced herself, and the lady invited her in for tea. And over tea, the lady said to her, you'll never guess what I do. I'm teaching school. I didn't have enough college credits to get the teacher's certificate, so I'm teaching in the Catholic school system where it's not necessary. Isn't that incredible?
Oh, my gosh. That is
incredible. But these things happen. You know, about 40 or 45 years ago, I was giving a lecture on program dreams. They invited my whole family to go to Buenos Aires, which is 8,000 miles away, you know, and they put us up for 5 nights in a fancy hotel, and I gave the lecture on program dreams back then. And, we were invited to go out to dinner with somebody that night. I checked for violin shops because I thought I might find a rare old violin there, and it might be cheaper. Anyway, we couldn't make the dinner that night, so we decided we would. They said, no problem, come tomorrow night. Well, that was the 6th night, and I was more frugal at that time, and I decided I'm going to move to a cheaper hotel because the 6th night is on me, you know. So in a city of 11 million people then, I moved into this new hotel, then we went to the dinner, and the grandfather of a friend of the family stopped by the this family's house where we were having dinner for the second time in his life, and he happened to be the biggest violin collector in all of South America. And his violin shop in a city of 11 million people was in the same city block as a hotel I just moved into.
Uh-huh.
Now, that would be preternatural.
Absolutely.
To say the least.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, we're dealing with more forces than just ourselves and whoever we're asking with the program Dream. You know, it's the Lord, and he has a lot of helpers.
That is correct.
In 45 years, never receiving a wrong answer, it's got to be coming from a higher source.
Absolutely. I truly believe that. Now, is it possible for clinicians to program dreams about patients?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would be able to do that. I always prefer to have the patient program the dream, but I guess the physician can. I don't know why not. I mean, when the spirit seems to reach out to bring in other people and move me into a hotel right next door.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's pretty incredible, you know.
It is. Yeah. Let's see if we can't open up the lines.
Yeah.
Caller, your last one is 0120. Do you have a question, or would you like a program dream?
I had to get
you. Oops, I'm sorry. Oops, I cut that caller off. Hold on, caller. I'll get you back on. Okay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, do you have a question, or would you like a program dream?
Well, definitely would be interested in programming dreams. I'm one of those people that I know that I dream. I just don't remember the dreams.
Oh, that's an easy one. You just decide, I will awaken at the very end of the dream. At a precise moment it ends, you awaken. If you direct your mind to do that, it will do that. You know, so, and the other technique, though, is when I awaken, my very first thought will be exactly what to do. You see, you can pose a problem. I mean, propose a problem and decide that when I awaken, my very first thought will be exactly what to do. But you'll get
it. And you write it down.
Yeah. If your program, you're going to write it down immediately. Well, you have to have paper and pencil there. Otherwise, it's phony programming. And
I understand.
Yeah, I reach over and start to write immediately. On occasion, one time I was when I gave that lecture in Buenos Aires, I was having a hard time writing it because there were so many things I wanted to put in all at once. And finally I decided, you know, when I awaken or during sleep, I'm going to just start writing. And I just started writing. And I wrote you only get about 9 or 10 lines per page, you know, because you spread your fingers out so you don't write over the top of the line above, you know. I wrote about 40 pages. And it just...
Oh, my.
I wrote the outline for the whole lecture there, you know.
Wow. Yeah, do you want to have Dr. McKenzie help you with the program Dream?
Do you have a particular question you'd like to program? A particular problem?
Right off the top of my head, there's so many things I couldn't... Right now, I can't choose anyone in particular.
Pick anything. Pick anything, you know. You know, you got to be having something.
Yeah, just pick one. Pick one, doesn't matter what it is. And Dr. McKenzie, do you want to do this privately with someone, or do you want to... Yeah, because I think that might even be better. That way we're not advertising somebody's, you know, predicament.
But nobody knows who he is, so...
that's true.
if you want,
she you know, she did give the last four of my phone number, and a whole lot of people know that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
connected with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know who it is by voice, and so I will send you, if this is okay with Dr. McKenzie, I will send you his email address. How's that?
Okay, if that's okay with him.
Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Is that okay
yeah.
with you, Doctor? Okay, all right, terrific. We'll give that out. I'll make sure you get that right after the show. And this is fascinating work. I've actually tried it a couple times. I'm not a dreamer. Very seldom do I ever remember dreaming, but it does work because I have remembered the dreams, and I was fascinated, absolutely fascinated. It's like, oh, my God, this does work. So we can actually program our dreams to help us with decisions or with medical problems or even with grief, if we can talk about grief.
Oh, that's a good, important topic because, you know, so many people, when they lose a loved one, they're just devastated. I had one family had a 4-year-old son and I think a 9-year-old daughter, and the mother suddenly died, and it was a real tragedy. But the father brought them in to see me, and I told them about the program dream of the 4-year-old and the daughter too. And 2 mornings later, the son woke his father up in the middle of the night. He wanted to show him something. He took him down to the basement and pointed to the washing machine and said, "Mommy says you got to take the clothes out of there and put them in over there." And he points to the dryer. The man remembers that he left the clothes in the washing machine for several days. And the little girl had beautiful dreams about them. With the mother, I'm trying to think what it was, but they were very comforting. And then the mother continued to visit the children on alternate nights. You know, one night and the other the next night. And that really helped those children along. And they listened to her more after she was gone. You know, so and she knew what to say. More than if she
absolutely,
were
yeah.
Here.
Moms
yeah.
always know what to say. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
that is such a cool thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what about relationships? You know, what about you're trying to decide whether to get married or get divorced or something like that. How could you program something like that without convincing yourself, well, you know, because the first thing I would think of is should I get a divorce? Should I marry that person? You know, should I date that person? Is that the right format we should use?
No, I would use, I will have a dream about the relationship with so-and-so. And the interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what to do. And,
it's important for you to get the wording right, correct?
Yeah. I had one lady at the university where I was teaching. I came in crying. His boyfriend was treating her so mean, and she didn't know what to do, and it was just devastating to her because she thought she really loved him. And so she programmed a dream. And, you know, sometimes the Lord will let the evil one come in. And what she heard during the sleep was, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to die anyway. Well, she dropped that boyfriend like a hot potato, met the lover of her life, and was on top of the world the next time I saw her.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, but,
well,
you know,
I just read I just heard a program that actually Satan or the evil one had to ask permission to test Job. So, I mean, God is not going to let anything bad happen to you. He has his thumb on the thermostat, how hot it's going to get for you. So, yeah, maybe that was coming through the dream that way. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. You mentioned Job.
That's phenomenal.
That was an interesting experience not too long ago. You know, these I get, you know, verses that pop in my head or songs and things like that. And this one time, I didn't like what the pharmaceutical industry was doing. They were, in psychiatry, these antipsychotic drugs are very harmful. And the with the SSRI antidepressants, there's 3 to 4 times as many committing suicide. So I thought, I got to do something with that. I looked up a little bit to the left and mentally heard the diagnosis, psychopharmacomania. Oh, what a great diagnosis. I scribbled that down on the paper, psychopharmacomania. Then I thought, well, that's pretty good. But then I just sort of relaxed and thinking about nothing. And all of a sudden, I looked up again to the left and mentally heard, psychopharmacomania is a mental or emotional disorder caused by the ingestion of too much end product of the psychopharmacological digestive tract. Well, I roared with laughter and scribbled that down there, you know, well, thinking how clever I was, you know. But I knew I wasn't that clever. But, and I was doing something else, and then suddenly I looked up to the left a third time and mentally heard, it results in permanent psychosis, intractable depression, or brain damage, depending on which drug rep reaches your doctor first. Well, that's even funnier, you know, and that's about how it works. But anyway, not long ago, I was wondering, why did I always look up to the left? Now, it was late at night before I went to bed, and I was pondering it. I got into the car, put the key in ignition, turned the key. The very first word spoken was Job. Job 23:8-9. I moved in front of me, he's not there. Behind me, he wasn't there. I looked to my left where the Lord doth work. I mean, that blew my mind. He wasn't there. He hid himself on the right where I cannot find him. When you program dreams and you listen to what you get during dreams, sometimes you get some of these incredible experiences, and I consider that an incredible experience. It wasn't in the middle of the name Job. It wasn't one or two words before. It was exactly precise. He had the radio announcer had to utter that word the moment I turned the key. You know. Mm-hmm. So these, when you program dreams, all that is coming from a higher source. In my opinion. Because I've never known a person get a wrong answer. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, everything that happens, you know, everybody says, oh, that must be a coincidence. Or, you know, that just, you know, I can't believe that came from anywhere. Yeah. Or they think, like you were thinking, oh, I must be very clever, you know, or whatever. But, you know, I think that if people stopped and they actually paid attention, they would have their answers, just like programming dreams. Now, I don't think anything happens by coincidence. I really just don't.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
are sent into our lives for a reason. Things happen for a reason. We dream for a reason. So, yeah, this is right up my alley. I love this program, dream stuff. But I've had a lot of calls from people that really want to learn how to do this. Uh-huh. One night.
I'm sorry. Well, I was just going to say about one time I had a gallbladder attack during sleep. And it's very painful. You know, it's like a knife stuck behind your right scapula. And so I decide, well, I'm going back to sleep, but when I awaken, I'm going to know exactly what's causing this or what to do about it. It was what to do about it. I knew it was a gallbladder attack. When I woke up, my first thought was, instead of sleeping on my right side, I had to sleep on the left side. Well, the gallbladder lies in the liver and points to the left. If you sleep on your right side, any sand or grit goes to the very bottom of the gallbladder, you know,
And no matter how much it contracts, it stays there. But if you turn over and sleep on your right side, any sediment goes to the neck. And so first contraction, and it's expelled. Then one of my Jewish patients said to me, oh, that's the ancient laws of the Halakha, volume 4, chapter 71, subtitle, Order of the Night. It is strictly forbidden to sleep prone or supine. It's you should start out sleeping on your side, and you should start out sleeping on the left side. You know. So, someone knew that was 200 or 300 A.D. You know, somebody knew it back then. You know, well.
Right.
The Lord always knew it, so.
Well, that's true. But we've forgotten what we were supposed to remember from that long ago. Or, you know, I was just talking to someone today about, you know, we have forgotten, a lot of people have forgotten, where herbs, botanicals, program dreams, sleep, how you're supposed to sleep and behave. We've forgotten all of that. So I'm excited about this program dreams, because this is another tool in our tool belt. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Dale, let me see if this caller is ready. Caller, your last four is 5056. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Dr. McKenzie, I would like to know, I've been having for a couple of years issues with my right eye. It's just not functioning, and it's the vision is just not clear. I'd had some detached retinas 5 years ago, but they had restored it to 20/20. But the last couple of years, it's deteriorating. I'm just wondering how you could help me to program that.
Oh, yeah, it's not hard to program, and it's we try to do this with mathematical precision. I mean, it's the right retina. Is that it?
Yeah.
Right eye.
Right.
I will have a dream about my right eye. And the interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what's wrong and exactly what to do about it. And the second, the latter part of it is always, I will awaken at the very end of the dream, remember it, and write it down. And always start writing before you open your eyes, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, left hand and the left edge of the paper, and just start writing from the little finger on down, move hand down the page once, you know. So let's
even if it's dark,
Oh, yeah.
I figured out you can write, because I did this once with the program dream. Even if it's dark, you can still write it down. Somehow that works.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you just start writing, and you'll be able to read it better than you can remember it, you know.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
So you're going to try that? You're going to try that tonight?
I am going to try that tonight, definitely.
Yeah. Try implies doubt. Just do it.
Just do it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will have a dream about the problem with that eye, and the interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what's wrong with it and exactly what to do about it.
The second half is...
I will awaken at the very end of the dream, remember it, and write it down.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for listening. This has been absolutely awesome. But you can actually program your dreams, and the wording is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. So let's go over that again, Dr. McKenzie. If we're going to program about a job, a career, a medical problem, surgical issues, school, relationships, marriage, divorce, children, investments, decisions about where to live, overcoming loss, whatever it is, what is the wording?
It's always with great precision, and I will have a dream about. Well, here's one. A lady was thinking about getting an abortion. The wording is similar in all of these. And she wanted to know what to do. I wrote the dream that would tell her what to do,
that would work out best. Well, made her interested. She's got really wants to know what will work out best. In the dream, she was in her backyard chasing her 2-year-old son around the yard, pushing him on the swing, rolling a ball back and forth, and having the very best time of her entire life. There were no
mm-hmm.
more thoughts about abortion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's... So, and I've had a number of persons that had that, you know. If you try to tell a person what they should do, forget it, you know. But
I know.
When they get it, yeah.
Yes.
When they get it in their own dream, they listen, you know.
Right. It's similar to using your own stem cells rather than someone else's stem cells. When you use your own, they do exactly what they're supposed to do. Use somebody else's to take a chance. So,
yeah.
Yes, I actually understand this. So it is important to word it correctly, make sure that you end it correctly, and you write it down correctly. So even in the dark, it works. I tried it, and it does work. And mine was pretty short, so I didn't ask for a lot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was pretty short, and you can do it in the dark even, write your dream down, your interpretation or what you dreamed. So this has been going on for a long time with you, Dr. McKenzie. No one's ever gotten a wrong answer because they're our dreams, our answers, right? We're all individuals, so it's pertaining to us individually.
Yeah, and it's also coming from a higher source. It's
yes.
coming through us, but actually it mm-hmm. has a higher source, you know, because
right.
how else would... And no one ever get a wrong answer, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I talked earlier today, and actually a lot, we do talk a lot, but there was something, something has to do with programmed dreams, but you were talking to me about the antidepressants and these pharmaceutical drugs, and you mentioned that it cuts the lifespan. I would like you to share that with the audience because we
yeah.
can't hear that enough. I know a lot
yeah,
of people are on pharmaceutical drugs. Go ahead.
Well, antipsychotic, I can only talk about drugs in the psychiatric field, but
sure.
I mean, that's I'm most familiar with. There are many people that have written about this, so I'm only repeating what's in the textbook. I know Grace Jackson wrote Drug-Induced Dementia, a Perfect Crime.
Mm-hmm.
And she reports that it shortens the antipsychotics shorten the lifespan by 25 years on average, and it's not even listed as a side effect. Furthermore,
right.
instead of 5% getting Alzheimer's, it's between 50 and 85%, and I don't think that's listed as a side effect. It's, you know,
no.
happens over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the SSRI antidepressants shorten the lifespan. Well, there are 3 to 4 times as many committing suicide. Now, we
mm-hmm.
have a lot of veterans. There's reportedly 22 veterans committing suicide every day, a terrible number. Now,
right.
if... The favorite antidepressant is the SSRI, apparently. And if they were all on antidepressants and you took them all off if they were all on SSRI, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, if you took them off those, instead of 22 committing suicide, it would be like 6, you know, 5 or 6.
Right.
I mean, presuming mm-hmm. that all of them are taken, they don't really know what else to do for these people. And all these serious disorders are caused by a partial return to the earlier mind and brain, and nobody realizes that in their whole field, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I mean,
and so what do you talk, when you're talking about earlier mind and brain, what are you talking there? You and I talked about this many times, but we have
oh,
not
yeah.
shared that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the schizophrenia, for example, has its origin in the first 18 months of life. Schizoaffective, 19 through 21 months. And there's only one trauma causing it, and that trauma is separation from the mother. And then bipolar disorder peaks at 22 months, and then the remainder of depression with psychotic features extends up to 24 months. And then non-psychotic depression has its origin between 24 through 34 months. And usually I can meet with the person and tell the month of origin, because infant development is so very rapid. And all it is, all these serious disorders, they are delayed post-traumatic stress disorders from infancy. Because more overwhelming than war trauma to a soldier is separation from mother to a baby. And that's because for as long as mammals populated the earth, separation from mother has meant death. Then instead of a loud noise precipitating the onset later in life, is separation from some other most important person, girlfriend, boyfriend, and that happens most often during adolescence when a first intense romance breaks up. And so, it's such a simple process. Now, depression, by the way, I'll just give you one more example of that. Cutters, you know, these depressed people that take out a blade and start cutting themselves.
Yes.
That's 26 months age of origin, just to show you how precise it is. And what happens is the toilet training, it took me a quarter of a century to figure out why that's 26 months. Toilet training, on average, is 27 months in America. So by 26 months, the mother is getting a little tired of changing smelly diapers. But if there's a separation from mother for any reason at that time, the baby remembers his mommy was not pleased with me because I couldn't please her by pooping in the potty. Then the next time they go from a separation from some other most important person, and that's usually during adolescence when it happens, they just take a sharp knife and start cutting themselves. And the age of origin of that is 26 months. Usually I can tell it to the month. The first time I got together with John Nash of A Beautiful Mind, I told him, the age of origin of your disorder is between 15 and 16 months. It was obvious. It wasn't the more bizarre 13 to 15 month, like aliens have implanted something in my brain and they're monitoring and controlling everything I do. Mm-hmm. I knew he wasn't quite there. Then we learned when he was 15 months old, the stock market was 400. When he was 16 months old, October 1929, it was 200. Well, people were jumping off rooftops, and obviously the mothers were upset then. So, I mean, this stuff is so incredibly simple, and nobody seems to even have had the thought. And all these biological changes, the person shifts to infant mind and brain. In schizophrenia, the language centers atrophy more than any other area, because very few words are learned in those first 18 months of life. So it's a search downstream for the leak in the dam, measuring biological results and never addressing root cause. You know, hesitate to talk about this, but people need to understand this is just such straightforward, simple stuff, you know.
Absolutely. It is. And once you understand it, I just couldn't believe it could be that simple. And once you understand it, and I've actually used your therapy, it is absolutely amazing results. And I do mean amazing. And the therapy, if you guys want more information on Dr. McKenzie's work, please visit www.alternativepa.com. APA.
Alternative APA.com.
And if you have any problem or you haven't written it down, you need more help with it, you want me to guide you there, all you need to call is 717-254-1953. I'll be happy to guide you there. It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And it's so simple. I cannot believe that people are not catching
simple.
On to this.
Yeah.
It is, and it works, and it pans out. I've actually been able to talk to people, and I can actually tell them, hey, within a month or two, what is going on with them. And it is, if I can do it, these doctors need to be doing it. They really, instead of writing prescriptions. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so your therapy for abandonment is actually, I really didn't understand it at first. I do now. But your therapy for abandonment, if we could give the people that, what is it your therapy for abandonment issues?
Well, if the person had a separation from mother, that's the only abandonment thing. And you can usually, clinically, tell the month that occurred. What I have to do is for a period of time keep the person separate from original nuclear family. No one else understands it. They claim that, well, the parents, the family is the ones who care the most. Yet, in relation to the family, the person is the infant once they've shifted there. And in order to get back out of that, they have to remain separate for a period of time. It cannot come across as a rejection because that'll make the matters worse. But I used to do group therapy with persons with schizophrenia, for example. And if one of them made a phone call to a family member, the entire group immediately would pick it up and know, you know. We used to have a good time. I enjoyed my schizophrenia group so much, and sometimes we'd do two sessions, and one would be an individual session each week, and then a group session, and sometimes a group would go with me to my fishing boat, and we'd go out in the Atlantic and troll for a while and come back and stop and have a beer and pizza on the way home. You know, you got to treat them just like other human beings, normal, rather than talk, baby talk. Oh my God, you know, in the hospitals, and I'm not critical of them, I just want to point it out, and something they need to know. They literally talk baby talk to these patients, and they can pass around a big yellow ball. They might and do silly little things, and if they're good, they get to stay up an hour later at night. I mean, it's like a preschool nursery. You know, they give them crayons and coloring books. You know, the patient has shifted to infancy, so they treat them like infants. It's very counterproductive. And, you know, so I hate to criticize what people are doing. I'd rather just show a different way to go about it, you know. You know, because
absolutely. There's healing. There's healing available.
Yeah. And they have to come out of the 18-month-old mind, you know. I had a couple family brought in this one 20-year-old lad who was convinced he would never be able to walk again because his feet hurt. I mean, these are so simple. Mm-hmm. Everyone should see it. Mm-hmm. Well, that was more real to him than the reality that he had just walked into my office and sat down. So I told the family something happened to him when he's just 12 months old. Oh, no, nothing happened. Well, I said, yes, it did, and he was just 12 months old. Nothing happened. I said, something happened to cause his mother to be extremely upset when he was just 12 months old. Oh, one remembered his older brother died then. Well, of course, she'd be freaking out of her mind. You see how simple that is? Because 12 months is when the baby takes his steps, first step, his feet hurt, and he's convinced he can't walk.
So I mean, it's it's not some magical thing. It's just, you know, what is going on in the mind and brain, feelings, reality, behavior, etc., of the infant, and you see it.
Absolutely. Yes. It's very clear once you really think about it. It really is. I mean, if the practitioners out there, if you're not getting your patients well, you might go visit alternativeapa.com and see if some of these things, and I'm sure that they will, resonate. Because if you've got somebody with hurting feet, they're painful feet, and you really don't know what the cause is and they can't find anything. I mean, how many people say, well, I've had MRIs, I've had CAT scans, I've had lab work, I've had, you know, x-rays, I've had everything, and they can't find anything. So this is another place to look.
Yeah. Especially if there's a serious mental or emotional disorder.
Absolutely. Yes. But that's not apparent. I mean, you don't wear that on your shirt sleeve. So it doesn't, you know, it's just like with Lyme disease. Oh, you look perfectly fine, but your whole body is in turmoil. So what if it's the same thing? You can't see it, so you have to kind of look for it. And this is a wonderful tool. We're going to open the lines up one more time and see if anyone has any last questions, either about what we've just been talking about, or if you have any questions about Program Dreams. So we'll start with the 0120. Do you have any more questions?
No, not at this time.
Nope.
I'll talk with you later.
Okay, that's great. All right, let's open it up. We have another one here. And your last four is 5056. Do you have any questions for Dr. McKenzie?
Yes. I just diagnosed with Lyme disease and the brain fog, that's what I call it. I think you probably know what I mean by it. It's so frustrating. It comes and it goes, and I just want to know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, in terms of Program Dreams, you know, I know there are specific treatments for that, and the internal medicine specialist would know what all about the latest on that. But I would have a dream about the Lyme disease and decide the interpretation of the dream will tell me exactly what to do. I will awaken at the very end of the dream, remember it, and write it down. So I would use, even though, I mean, I would do that because many of these things go beyond what's known in medicine. You might get answers and that go beyond what's known in medicine, and don't be surprised if that's what you get. And I'd certainly do that. But you know, that's going to take. It's going to take a person who's practicing in medicine to if there are some treatments that really are helpful and effective with the Lyme disease. I know there are some, so.
Oh, there are. There are. You and I will talk. Yeah, you and I will talk about Lyme disease at a later date. But yes, there are some really good treatments for Lyme disease.
Yeah.
There are, and we're not talking pharmaceuticals either. So there are. Did that help? Help you, caller?
Yes, it did, and I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Awesome. You're going to do that. I love that. All right. It looks like we're almost out of time. Dr. McKenzie, you have been a gem, a blessing, a miracle. Like I told you, there are miracles, gems, and blessings, and you're all three. I am so thankful that I know that I have met up with you. I have learned so much from you in just our casual conversations. I can't thank you enough for sharing this. And you'll all be happy to know I'm actually finishing an article on Dr. McKenzie. So this I'm going to submit it to the Townsend Letter, and you can look for it there in the near future. But we're going to talk about all the things that we've talked about tonight and more. And again, it's www.alternateapa.com. And if you have any issues with that, just give me a call at 717-254-1953, and I'll direct you Dr. McKenzie's way.
Oh, yeah. It's alternativeapa.com.
Yes, alternative. Yes, yeah, alternative APA.
You said alternative.
I'm sorry. I must have got caught up. Alternativeapa.com. Yes. We have to be precise. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And again, the number is 717-254-1953. I'll be happy to respond to that and make sure that you get that information, and it will be alternativeapa.com. And go there and read up. I mean, I keep going back to that website time and time. In fact, I have it up on my computer right now. It stays on my computer up all the time. I can't get enough. I can't just get enough. Thank you so much, Dr. McKenzie. We will let you go for the evening. Thank you for sharing with us.
Well, thank you. Very enjoyed being here. Okay.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Absolutely. And everyone, program your dream tonight. Remember to be precise, and that you're going to wake up at the end of the dream. You're going to remember it, and you're going to write it down. So be precise. If you have any questions whatsoever, Dr. McKenzie has put that up on his site, so you can go there and you can look and see what, in case you forget, you can look to see how to do that. And it works for everything. It is awesome. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Very good. Bye-bye. Good. Bye-bye.